Good morning, everyone. What a privilege to be together here this morning. I hope your house still have a roof. I've picked up my black bin in various places in my neighborhood over the last day. Still intact. You know, that thing's got wheels, so once it sits its way down the road and everything aligns, it goes. Just before I jump in, I just want to say this again. There's an option. If there's people here whose hearts are drawn to Africa, you want to join with a Zim mission, it's not that far away. Please come and talk to me or put your name in the Connect book there at the back. There's a group going from the Shofar congregation in Secunda, so there's a leadership nucleus in place for that mission, which means this can be your first mission. We can have a group of guys join in with them and we'll merge with them and be under their leadership. So this is a good one. If you have a heart for Africa, but you've always thought about it, but you've never gone, this is an opportunity. Amen. Let's put your name in that Connect book. Right. This morning, I want to finish off with the call of Moses. We had this buzzword around the office and around church the last month or two that God has called you. He wants to equip you. We're also speaking about that at Equip at 5. There's this a little bit of this buzz, like, where do I fit in? For some of us, we're asking, especially also in the season of my life, what does it mean for me to serve the Lord faithfully? And I've looked at the life of Moses and just trying to draw out some of the elements of his call and to apply it to us. That's the heart. Now, I'm not going to recap because I've been through two sermons. I'm just going to show it. But in short, what we said is that Moses had a bad hand dealt to him. He was left in a river. He was adopted by a foreign king's daughter. But yet he grew strong, if we go to that next slide, in the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. He took the cards that was dealt to him and he conquered it. He stood up. We also know that at one stage he was keeping his father-in-law's flock. He ran away because he killed an Egyptian, and he was doing something as lowly as keeping the flock. And that's when the Lord spoke to him out of a burning bush. Now, I'm just going to show it, but if you need to recap, or if this pulls on your heart, you can go and just look at the last two sermons of the call of Moses, and that's where we got. Today, I want to finish up with 7, 8, and 9, the call of Moses. I want to focus this morning on voices you must face. Voices Moses had to face in his call. Let me pray for a moment. Lord, as a congregation, we come before you to position ourselves under your word, that it might instruct us and change us and renew us and also help us to course correct. Sometimes generally we're going in the right direction, Lord, but specifically we should adjust. Other times we're just going in the wrong direction altogether. And whatever the case might be, this morning will you work with us, Holy Spirit, and guide us in your wisdom. Also, for everyone that's maybe new around church or new around the faith or has not yet embarked on their journey, I pray that you will draw them near to you. And also speak to them this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I've said it many times, but we know it's easy to read the story in hindsight. But if we just consider what Moses did, we know the 10 plagues. We know the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the boils, the hail, the locusts. You know, these Israelite people, they almost saw it all. They haven't seen an ocean open up yet, but then soon after the plagues, they also saw that. And Moses is the man to whom God, after that, also delivers the Ten Commandments. And it's a man with a full life. But before these things transpired, before there was speed, there was at least three voices that he had to conquer or navigate. Before we came to the big CV, okay, that this man has. And these voices will be a reality in your life and in my life also. And some of them we need to navigate, some of them we need to consider, others we need to really reject and put away. But let's look at the voices Moses had to face in the time of his call. I just want to say this. When it comes to my heart and yours, I want to read the following two scriptures. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Yet the world might say today, just follow your heart. You know what? You might be in very great trouble. Okay? You need to follow someone greater than your heart. Isn't that true? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out it are the issues of life. Now, we are made in God's image, our hearts, which means some of the wonderful attributes of God is also in us. Sometimes we see someone hurt and we hurt. Isn't that great? It's similar to Jesus. He saw us and then he came. He responded. Other times we love and we bring near. But here's the thing about our hearts. They're also fallible. They're distorted. So sometimes instead of loving, they grow hard. Isn't that true? One day they want the right thing. The next day they want the wrong thing. And so when we hear voices, which is sometimes directed at us, at our hearts, sometimes it falls on our heart, which is in line with the Lord, and things work well. But other times it can corrupt our hearts, and we must navigate this. So keep your heart, be diligent around it, and be aware of the voices that works in on it. Let's go to the first one. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, I'm building a little bit on the context of the previous two verses, but previous two sermons. But don't worry if you weren't here, you'll catch up. But I won't be able to stop as long and give lengthy context, if that's okay, everyone. Also, Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And he also said, oh my Lord, please send someone else. Okay, so we see the protest of Moses. Now this is before the 10 plagues, before the 10 commandments. We have a situation here. We have a situation. And it's the voice of his heart. A doubtful voice. And so the first thing I want to say this morning, which will be point number 7, I'm going to go on, is you have to minister to the voice of your doubtful heart in order to advance on what lies ahead many times in your life and on your journey. Isn't that true? So let's say a few things about this. The calling of God to us is not always the calling we would choose for us. The guidance of the Holy Spirit to me is not always the direction my flesh wants. Is that true or false? The people God sends you to, or me to, is not always the people you had in mind. The places, I'm a testament of that, that God sends us to is not always the place we had in mind. I've never heard of a place called Secunda. I spent 8 years of my life there. It's the best 8 years of my life. The timing of God is not always the timing we, you know, we never have enough money. Come on, let's be honest. God's timing is never right. Come on, Lord, you're a little bit off here. It's the wrong people, wrong place, wrong timing. But here's the thing, there's a difference between me and God. Okay, and I'm going to say this, please don't get offended with me. He's extremely smart, and I'm extremely, I'll say limited. I wanted to say dumb. But I don't know what's good for me. I don't know. I think I know. You see, I thought, I'll take myself as an example. Take the heat off you. I thought I needed and wanted two children. That's what I thought. And then my wife fell pregnant. The doctor said, this is not possible. And we were both, but we wanted two, not three. Now we've got a problem here. Best thing of my life. Best thing. You see, I think I know, but I do not know. Now what it means is when the Lord arrives and he starts to draw your heart into his purposes, you will have a heart that protests. One of the greatest men of all times contested the Lord, I think on four occasions, until the Lord got angry. What about you? What about me? What sometimes happens with us, maybe this will help, is God is the one that trains us for wisdom. He makes us strategic. He gives us favor with man. Now what then often happens to us is we make a couple of good decisions, but it's because of how the Lord is working in us and the favor he gives us. And ons kom op 'n goeie wicket, né? And so we make a series of 5, 6, 7 good decisions in a row. And then the Lord comes with a leading that supersedes our understanding. And we say, mm-mm. And what we don't realize is we think those good decisions have come from us. And now this idea we're getting here, I don't think that's going to work. And so I take my intelligence and put it over the Lord. Okay, and that's something all of us must be wary of, because Moses said, Lord, I cannot do this because I cannot speak. You see, I've made the assessment. This is not possible. The lesson here for all of us is in one way or another, we have to deal with the voice of a doubtful heart. A doubtful heart, if not ministered to, will keep me from advancing. Okay. And what is the Lord leading you to? We're talking about the call of Moses and the fact that the Lord calls and draws each one of us into his purposes. And it might look to us like an odd calling, all odd people, or an odd place, or bad timing. But we're going to have to minister to that in order to advance. Are you with me this morning? Minister to the voice of your... And I say minister, because sometimes you also need to go with your heart in this, go about it in a soft way and say, but Lord, there's something here. Here's the great thing about Moses. He spoke what he felt to the Lord. David did it. Read the Psalms. Lord, I'm all alone. I feel I'm going to die. Why did you leave me, Lord? But he goes to the Lord. He's in his face the whole time. And when we go to that throne, the Lord helps us. I mustn't sit too long here. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. See, there's that doubtful heart here called the spirit of fear. But God has given you something else. It might feel to you like the wrong place, wrong people, the wrong timing. But you know what? Those doubts you can put aside. If the Lord has spoken to you in this confirmation, especially by your friends, go with the spirit of faith, power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Remember, you and I, we have visual impairment compared to God. Okay. Right. Let's go on. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, so So did God send Moses? Yes. Right, so he's going on the way, on his jolly way, obeying the Lord. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Okay, so God spoke, they obey. Now they spoke as they should. And here's the response. Who's the Lord? Please tell her that I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Shucks, did God really send me here? Did he really say? I mean, was he the one that sent me on my way? Because where God leads, he feeds. Where God guides, he provides. But this doesn't seem right here. On your way of saying yes to God, you will hear the no from opposing voices. The yes of God will be met by other no's, which is mine and yours to conquer. Now the Lord may bless you and you obtain his favor. For goodness sake, the man had a stick that could turn into a snake. That's a great blessing from the Lord. But you may lose favor from others, and they might even curse you. On the road that honors Jesus, you might get dishonored by others. Now here's the challenge. We've got hearts susceptible to fall, and we should love people, love God more. But sometimes our hearts are led where if we are tricked to believe the honor of people is more important than what it should be, we will start walking away from our calling to honor people. Okay, and I know it's a tough one because love God, it's the greatest commandment, loving people. But wisdom is not mixing up the order of important things. Okay, loving God first. At times, if Moses was dishonored and David was dishonored, for goodness, Jesus dishonored, so it will be with me at times. All right, so it's a tough one. But let's be reminded that the second voice one needs to overcome is the voice of Pharaoh or the voice of the world. Okay, it's something one must overcome. It's the opposing voice. Now, we can go about this the wrong way, but now, also if we just read in Acts 4. Now, look, Lord, upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hands to heal, and sign and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Grant your servants to continue to speak with boldness because there's threats on us here. Right, they were obeying the Lord, pushed out of the day of Pentecost into the mission field in obedience, met by no threats. All right, we're going to have to navigate them, or it will be a place where we will struggle to advance beyond. The doubt in the heart, the no of others. Right. What shall we do when met with various no's, opposition, threats? Very tough, because we can get it wrong. We can be tricked to fall into sin also. Okay. How do we approach opposing voices in practicality? Okay, so the world might shout, "You cannot disagree with me," because the Bible says, the one scripture the world knows, what does it say? "You're not allowed to judge me." Okay. But here's the thing. We are allowed to say what is godly, what is not, what is right, what is wrong. Here is the key. Are we leaning in to condemn, or are we leaning in to reconcile people? Very important. In our disagreement, if my posture is to condemn you, what will happen is the way I come at you would be aggressive and judgmental. If my heart is not condemnation but reconciliation, I disagree with you differently. Are you with me? I plead. I love. I understand. My goal is reconciliation. Now, here's the important thing. If I speak rudely to you, will you accept the gospel from my lips? On your journey, you will be met with rudeness, but you are not allowed to respond in rudeness. Otherwise, you cannot do the work of reconciliation. Yeah, but they told me this, this, and words that you need to bleep out. But you are different because you see, you were standing in front of a burning bush. So they speak rude, but you don't speak rude. You see, your mission is not condemnation, it's reconciliation, even to those that comes as enemies on the road. If in an argument there's a no, you seek to humiliate. I, as a Christian, seek to humiliate. I will not be accessible to give the gospel to that person again. I have humiliated them. Are you with me this morning? How do we deal? How do we overcome the voice of Pharaoh in the world with great guidance of the Holy Spirit? Great guidance. Don't let it throw off your journey. Don't let it throw off your testimony. Never demonize another human. The aim of our charge is not condemnation, but reconciliation. If reconciliation absorbs many wrongs done against you on your journey, remember, you have a God to go to, a throne to go to, a church to go to worship with. You've got a great place of safety. Absorb out there. Keep the doors open. For what credit is it then if you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. It's a tough one, eh? It's a tough one. But by the Spirit, we get the wisdom to deal with the voice of Pharaoh in the world. The first challenge is, we are intimidated, we stop. Sometimes we're not intimidated, but we backslide in our tongue. If we can overcome those two, we can advance. We can advance. Moses advanced, also made mistakes. And Pharaoh said, let's go on. Behold the people of the land. This is the toughest one, by the way. That one was tough. This one's tougher. Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Okay, so what happened is, Moses, because he asked Pharaoh to let the people go, what Pharaoh did is he said, we're not going to give all the elements for making bricks to the Israelites that they were working as slaves. So he was not going to give them the elements to make the bricks. They were going to have to fetch it themselves, but they had to make more bricks. So because Moses, now listen to this, because Moses obeyed the Lord, Pharaoh punished who? Moses' family. The Israelites. Moses obeyed, but his obedience caused his own people to be in discomfort. All right, read with me. Same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Why did I tell you that? If it's on there, let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. The battle of words. The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce the number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and they have put a sword in their hand to kill us." There's nothing tougher than this. There's nothing tougher than when, because of your obedience, your children suffer. Your people suffer. What to do? What to do? "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Now God is counseling Moses. "And I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. The last voice you and I will have to deal with is we have to consider the voice of Israel, or our friends, our family. Often when we are in the will, sometimes when we step into the will of the Lord, things get easier almost immediately. That is true. Ask anyone addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, video games. You step into the will of the Lord, suddenly things change. Other times when it's got to do with you stepping into your call, often things get harder before it gets better. Okay, sometimes there's mountains to come over before we feel, wow, we're here. I mean, this is as practical as I can get. Who of you here feels it might happen? The chance is that the Lord at one stage might speak to you to actually even move to stand in the place of ministry, even as a tent maker, even as helping a church plant somewhere around the world. I hope there's some hands. Who of you, like, okay, yeah, there's some, okay. Do you know that if you go and you've got children, they go with you, right? Who's going to be the one to tell them they must leave their school and their friends? It's going to be you. Now, it might seem so rosy, the Lord called us. It might even be called to a great place. I don't know, maybe you like Hart and Bos. Guess what? Your children still needs to leave their school, their friends, their sports club. But is it the will of the Lord? If He called, yes. And it's going to work out great. But sometimes it gets harder before it gets easier. Isn't that true? And the same for you. I remember when I started to follow the Lord, I grew up in Wellington, so it's quite a traditional place, and everyone knew the Domini, and like, if there's a problem, hey, Domini bell. And so it was very tough when I told my parents, I want to join a church called Shofar, and they said, what? I said, Shofar, it means ram's horn, and I want to get baptized. And I remember their faces. They love our church now, by the way. They recommend it to people. But back then, their faces went hard and tears came down and they resisted. It was very tough. Sometimes when we obey the Lord, it's tough first, but it gets better. But you know what? They're my family. So I wasn't warfaring against them and rebuking and cutting off. I was considering, Dad, this must be tough for you. I understand. I love and respect you, but you must know the Lord is calling me as a... You see, when you're dealing with Israel, consider. Come in low. Understand, yet be assertive. Because the Lord is dealing with you in the context of loved ones. Are you with me this morning? Sometimes this is turned the other way around. Sometimes the Lord uses our friends. Aaron is building a golden calf with his people in the bottom of a mountain, and Moses comes down. Sometimes we are busy with something wrong and one of our friends come down the mountain to help. Who's experienced that? That's tough. Here's a tough one. I was once in my room. This was my first lesson in accountability. In Heis Mare, Kos Heis. And my friend came down the mountain. And back then, the Lord was just, I was growing in the Lord and I was getting stronger. I was getting traction as a young man in leadership. But it came to my head, and my good friend came into the door one night. It was late. I was already sleeping. I think he was battling whether to get the guts to tell me what he needs to tell me. And he came in, he said, "That is," and I remember his voice. It was tough for me. He said, I just feel on my heart, I must tell you, just check your heart for pride. Whoop, and he closed the door and he walked away. And I remember it felt like I was in a freezer in my bed. I'm like, what just happened? I was rebuked. I was his best man and he was mine. You see, consider the voice of Israel and friends. Consider it. Don't just reject it, because sometimes they're also there to help and shape you. Soften. What do you do when you've got conflict in Israel or with your friends? Because it's part of a calling. It's one sentence or a couple of sentences in the Bible, but this must have been a moment. These people said to Moses, "No, we don't want to go." Okay, one or two things. I need to wrap up here. When it comes to Israel and friends, do it face to face and do it in love. If you go to the public with a dispute between yourself and a friend, public can be murmur or, the Lord helps us, Facebook, you will lose a friend. It's a bad move. I thought we protected you. I thought it's safety, but you sold me out. How do you do it? Face to face, nose to nose. Speak it through. This is a part of your journey. This is a part of my journey. We're not getting around this. Also, if in accountability, when Israel speaks and when friend speaks, if you always have a reaction, if you're a tough one to help, if you're prickly, what will people do? What will they do? They're going to stop coming with the ointment of healing to you. And then infection grows, you're on your own. This is probably the deal breaker of the lot. Yeah. Because there's a lot of help here. This is an integral part of the faith journey and the calling of each and every Christian. Consider the voice of Israel and friends on your journey. Voices you must face. Minister to the voice of your doubtful heart. Overcome the voice of Pharaoh, the world out there, and consider the voice of Israel and friends in here. Maybe you sit here this morning, you feel, I'm a little bit confused because like it all means something to me and I'm a bit all over the place. What do you do? Go back here. If we can go to that next slide. What do? You retreat back to the burning bush. Take your sandals off your feet and go to the place where God has spoken to you. Remember again and go back to that place. Visit that place and say, "Lord, remind me again." Because this is a voice of voices that gives a context for all the other. And maybe this morning some of us are good on their way, but you're walking with a limp because you're not overcoming or managing one of these agents, one of these voices well. And you know what? With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can get on your way again. Amen? And maybe there's some people here that you actually sitting in your chair and burning because you're not just not sure whether the Lord has met you and released you yet. If you are feeling Him drawing you here this morning, don't relent. Come to Him. He wants to send you also on your way. Let's stand this morning. What is the Lord whispering to you this morning? Don't chew it and spit it out. Digest it. Take it in. Trust Him. He can see around corners. And so you can advance with Him. He will help you. I just want to ask all the small group leaders, all the facilitators to come out. We're going to just pray for people and just bless them. Just bless them on their journey this morning. This morning, I specifically want to pray for us in front because I want us as a sign of a journey to move. I want to make one call but include a whole lot of you. If you sense the Lord calling you, you're not sure where to start, we want to pray with you this morning. The Lord's drawing you near. Someone will pray for you and help you. And then I also really want to pray for you. You embarked on your journey, but it's been quite a stop-start. It's been a stop-start, and at one stage, it actually became quite stationary. And we want to pray for you to go again. We want to pray for you to be released, to conquer one of those voices. Maybe the voice of your doubtful heart. We want to pray with you. And I want to ask this morning for a step of faith, that you step out for that prayer and not stay in your chair. If that's the Lord speaking to you. Overcoming those intimidating voices from the outside, but also those difficult conversations from the inside. I'm going to count to three, and then we want to pray for you. I want you to quickly come to the front, and someone's going to lay their hands on you, if that's you. So Lord, I just pray that you will release, as we finish off this time of looking at Moses, I pray that we will advance in our families, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our lives, that you will touch many and release them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. One, two, three. Quickly come out if that's you. Thank you for those people moving. Be bold. We want to pray. We want to ask for something to shift. We want to ask for the supernatural. If I can ask males to pray with males, females to pray with females, quickly come out. Thanks for your faith. If that's you, if your heart is burning in your seat, take your heart for a walk. Right here, we want to pray with you. We're calling you out because then we can get to you. There's space here. That's it. Is there anyone else? We want to pray for you and release you. I just feel there's a couple of people. If you feel massive discouraged of what voices have done to you, people, and even people in the church, we want to pray restoration and healing over you. Quickly come out. Thank you for your faith. Is there anyone else we can pray with? I just want to ask you, we have got no spectators here today. I want to ask you to softly take your seat for 3 or 4 minutes. And take a moment to reflect on your own, or if you are here with a loved one, your spouse, a friend, just ask them, what is the Lord lifting up to you this morning? And then you can offer to pray for your friend. Let's take 3 or 4 minutes. If you see your friend sitting somewhere, you can also walk to them and just ask them, what is the Lord saying? Can I pray with you this morning? Let's digest, okay? Let's take the word in. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. If you are still praying, please feel free to keep on sitting for another while and praying and fellowshipping. But you, I just want to formally dismiss you. You're welcome to quietly, while still praying here. So if you respect what's happening here in front, just quietly go out that back door, grab a coffee, chat with someone on the stoop, and we see you again next week.